Oh, God is good, isn't he? All the time. Not just sometime. All the time. And he's faithful to complete what he started. Amen? Would you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, please? Praise be to God. Glory. Is everybody there? 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. Verse 9. Come on, lift your hands up and get a drink, will you? Thank you, Lord. Give us a quick drink here. Shout a Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In verse 9 it says, but as it is written, come on, read it with me. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Hello. Now look at verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through his what? Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Now, I want to share something with you that God brings us to a place where he begins to test us to see if we're cooperating with the search. Come on. Are you cooperating with the search? The Bible says that the Spirit searches the deep things of God, doesn't it? So that means you and I must cooperate with the Spirit in the search. But there are things that interfere with the search. Of course, me, myself, and I is one of them. Amen. Pride and so forth hinder us from those areas. Not willing to deny yourself, which is death to self. These areas is where the Spirit is trying to bring us to so God can begin to reveal certain things. He will not reveal things to an individual until that individual begins to cooperate in the search. Are you with me? You know, I'm going to share something with you, very important, because right now we are in transitions, and in transitions of the Spirit, he begins to expose certain things that you believed were God and were not. And you can hold on to those things and try and build those things. You can invest all your money and all your time into these things, but God is trying to sever certain things so he can bring you to another place. Are you with me? And in this transition, God is moving, and either you're cooperating with the search or you're cooperating with yourself. Hello. And the only way that God is going to begin to reveal the true things that are from him is when you begin to let go of the things that are not of him. Come on. Hallelujah. Now, he says, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? So no one knows the things of God except for the Spirit of God. So as you cooperate in the search with the Spirit of God, he begins to reveal things to you. The problem that happens is many individuals stop the search once they get one thing. They get one little revelation and they think they made it. Woohoo. Then everything they think they believe is of God. And it brings them into destruction. I'm telling you, it destroys all kinds of things. It destroys relationships, destroys marriages, destroys businesses, destroys all kinds of things. Because they had one good revelation and they stopped the search and they believe everything they hear from that point down is of God, and it's not. And God is beginning to sever these things right now. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Praise God. That's not in my notes. So, hallelujah. So we're just going wherever God wants to go, right? Praise God. Now, verse 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Well, praise God. That means you must continue in the search with the spirit. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches. Hello. Man's wisdom teaches. But which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. See, spiritual pride will always blind your discernment. Spiritual pride will always tell you everything you hear is of God. That's spiritual pride. Spiritual pride will always tell you you're the only one right. Everybody else is wrong. Come on. Spiritual pride always makes a quick decision without waiting on God or seeking counsel. Make his decision right then and there. Bam, that's it. That's my final decision. Amen. Verse 14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. In other words, that doesn't mean that you don't have the Spirit. It means you are rejecting the things of the Spirit and accepting the things of the carnal. Why? Because your spiritual pride has prevented you from discerning what is the correct way. Then the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are what? Spiritually discerned. I'm telling you, spiritual pride will blind your discernment. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Hosea 4:6. Glory to God. Is everybody okay? Just hold on, man, because we're going somewhere. Hosea 4:6. Our famous scripture. You got to know it by heart. You should wake up to it. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me? My people are destroyed for lack of finances. My people are destroyed for lack of faith. My people are destroyed for lack of love. My people are destroyed for lack of what? Knowledge. And knowledge understood is what? Truth. And knowledge that's not understood is what? It's a lie. It's real simple. It ain't truth, because the Bible says truth sets you free. That's why many people read the Bible inside now, and they're still doing the same stinking things they were 10 years ago. Because they're, you know what they did? They stopped searching with the Spirit of God. And they've relied on their carnal understanding of the word. I said carnal understanding of the word. And the Holy Ghost is doing this. Bam, bam, come on this way. And you go, oh, but the word says this. That's how people become bound by the letter. Because they lose the search with the Spirit. Do you understand? It's so important. Because these are things that God is beginning to sever right now and bring us to another place. You won't get to that other place until you learn how to search with the Spirit. You go around that same vicious cycle. You'll look in the mirror every day and go, what am I going to change? When you obey. What am I going to change? Oh, hallelujah. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And because you rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priests for me. Now, priest is one that God reveals hidden secrets. Why? Because a priest is the one that searches with the Spirit. And everyone in this room has been called to be a priest. And because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will forget your children. Oh, hallelujah. In other words, this curse of rejecting the ways of God and doing your own will instead of doing the will of God will go down to your children. Do you know that you can still bring a curse on your family line even right now? Hello? Some of us had to go through hell before we got to heaven because we were rejected. Oh, praise God. My people are destroyed for lack of what? Knowledge. Go to Proverbs 23. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Proverbs 23. Now, did you just learn something? Amen. So you've gained some knowledge, haven't you? In other words, you are always to be one step ahead of the devil or more. You're not to make... Are you with me? Now listen, that's why the Bible says that the Spirit guides us to all truth. And He tells us things to come. Doesn't He? He tells us things to come. So if He tells you things to come... Now let me tell you something. When He hasn't told you things to come, you just hang tough. In other words, He's saying, continue to what you're doing until I tell you what to do. But too many people are jumping from the first step to the 15th. And they end up going down all 14 on their head. Boom, 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 boom. Because they stopped search. Look at, when the Spirit stops, you stop. When the Spirit goes, you go. If He chooses not to reveal it to, He even did it to some of the prophets. Even Samuel said, I don't understand. The Lord didn't reveal that to me. Amen. You know, people think because you're a pastor or evangelist or whatever that you're a mind reader. Well, why didn't you know? Well, why were you searching? Got to read 60 minds every day or what? Yeah. I ain't going there. I'm not going. It's an inside joke. Praise God. Where did I say to go? Proverbs? I better get there quickly. Oh, to God be the glory. Hallelujah. And Proverbs 23 in verse 6 and 7. Where did you all read it with me? Do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies. For as he thinks in his heart, so he is. Say, as a man thinks, so he becomes. As a man thinks, so he becomes. So where do you think the devil's going to hit you? Amen. You're a thinker. You're a thinker. Your thinker will be a stinker. Amen. It'll be righteous. Amen. Now listen. As a man thinks, so he becomes. Now God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Amen. So there are areas where we've got to learn. In fact, freedom is learned, isn't it? Now you've got to put it into practice what you've learned to maintain freedom. The moment you set it down, the devil's there. Hi. I've been waiting for you to lay that down. He waits for you to lay down the sword. Now the Bible says something very powerful. From Genesis to Revelation. It's all powerful. You ought to read it someday. Oh, praise God. As a man thinks, so he is, or he becomes. So we know that the fight is in the mind, and we know that the Spirit is trying to bring us to another place, isn't He? Amen? So sometimes you need to unscrew your mind. Lay it down for a few days. and get in the spirit. Because see, we have this carnal intellect that has to know and understand everything. You know? And if it doesn't understand everything, it doesn't believe it. You know what that is? Not faith. That is not faith. See, faith is believing what you don't see. Holding on to nothing and to become something. Now, we talked a little bit, I think it was Saturday, I don't remember. Turn to Ephesians 6. I haven't even gotten to the message yet, so just hang tough. Ephesians 6. Everyone say, as a man thinks, he becomes. In Ephesians 6, praise God, in verse 16, I believe it is. Ephesians 6, 16. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me? It says something very profound. It says the first two words, above all. Now, he's telling you about the full armor of God, but he says something very powerful. He says, above all. Everyone say, above all. Above all, do what? Taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, and I've shared this before. So, the Bible says that faith comes by what? Hearing. In fact, it says it twice. Faith comes by hearing one ear and hearing the word of God. That's the other ear, right? So you have a double hearing. And it comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Why? Because that's going to increase your faith. It's amazing how people want to do all kinds of stuff, but they are not in the word. Amen? They're not in the word. Well, you know, let me share with you, first of all, it takes faith to get in the spirit. Come on. It takes faith to get in the spirit, doesn't it? So the Bible says that you're to stir yourself up. That's why we pray in tongues. We stir ourselves up. Why? Because it's allowing its access to the spirit. It increases our faith. But the Bible also says that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God, doesn't it? Now, that is what's promoting the shield of faith, isn't it? Now, when the shield of faith comes in the fiery dart, because on every fiery dart and every corruptible seed, there's a message of the devil. Now, if you do not have, and if you're not walking in faith with the shield of faith, now the shield of faith is like a computer monitor. Everybody got it? So when you put up that shield of faith, you are, the Holy Spirit is going to put out, print out what that fiery dart is. Does everybody understand this? Why? Because he's going to tell you things to come, and he's going to bring to remembrance things, isn't he? So that shield of faith is like a monitor that you are carrying with you, and when that fiery dart comes in, it's going to be printed right there. And you're going to have to read it. If you're not in a spirit, you will ignore it. Are you with me? So, why? Because he's telling you what it is. Now, here's something that's powerful. If you ignore it, you will agree with it. Did you get this? If you'll ignore it, you will agree with it. Once you've agreed with it, it comes to pass. That's why as a man thinketh, so he is. See, because you don't even know. I mean, you're supposed to know because it was just printed out on your shield of faith. You know? Because the Holy Spirit is telling, listen, you just got hit with a fiery dart. Here it is. Bam, 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 bam. It's going to penetrate unless you expose it. Other than that, you will come agree with it because you don't even realize it. Are you hearing this? Now, I'm going to share some. And that's why people make decisions and do all kinds of stuff. That's why they backslide. That's why they go back and use and all kinds of stuff. Why? Because they've stopped the search in the Spirit. Now, this is powerful. Last night I was preaching at the jail, and I just asked the Lord what he wanted to go to, and he began to share with me about sharing renewing of your mind, which the Holy Spirit brings to remembrance and so forth. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind and so forth. And it was just leading me from one thing to the other. And it was talking about how people are not listening and the fiery darts are penetrating and are ignoring the shield of faith and so forth. And I'm sitting on this table and there's this guy in front of me. And there's guys all around there. And this guy, and now he had the music that we just did with the overhead projector laid out on the table on my right. And here we are talking, and this guy's been looking at me and writing stuff down. And next thing, he starts looking over at the overhead printouts. And in my spirit, I knew that he just got hit with a fiery dart, and the devil just told him to go over there and start writing down the music. So he was still in front of me. And I'm kind of like waiting and I'm preaching. And next thing I know, he squirmies over there. Starts moving his chair. And he gets over on the other side. And he's looking at me. Yeah, yeah, I got it. No, yeah, you got it all right. It's sticking from one hat part of that out the other. It's called an arrow. You remember those Indian arrows that I used to put those in? And this guy, and he's looking at me, and I'm still preaching, and next thing I know, I see him write down the name of the overhead music, and it said, "Touch Me." And I said, "Hold on," because I knew we had a live teaching. I turned around, and I said, "Who told you to move over here?" He said, "I did." I said, "No, who told you to, what thought came that told you to move from in front of me to over here and interrupt God and start writing down this stuff?" He said, I did it. I said, "No, you didn't. Who told you that?" And he was like, "What?" I said, "What's a fiery dart?" It's the voice of the stranger. It carries a message. So right in front of us, we saw, there he got hit. And then he did the semi-watusi all around me. And sat over there and started writing this overhead music down. But it was so powerful because these guys, I mean, it was like light bulbs started going off everywhere. Bing, 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 you know. And finally he got it. I said, "No, it wasn't your thought. God would not tell you to interrupt God." I said, "If Jesus was in this room right now speaking the word of God, would he tell you to go write something down like that?" He said, "No." I said, "Then what makes you think anything is different? Who told you to go over there and do that?" "The devil." "Hello." Bingo, you know. Do you get this? God never interrupts himself. Amen. So, here we said, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." Why are you able to quench them? Because you are able to shut them down when they come. Why? Because you're able to see them. But if you're not doing the search with the Spirit, now I'm going to go to another arena. How many of you know God tests you? Go to Psalm 11. Psalm 11. Oh, praise God. Psalm 11. Everybody there in verse 4? 4 through 7, would you read it with me? Is everybody there? Hallelujah. The Lord in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold. His eyelids test the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence his soul hates. Upon the wicked he will rain coals. Fire and brimstone and burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright. So God is testing the righteous. So you're claiming to be righteous. Now I want to share something with you. He's testing your righteousness. Your righteousness. Now I know that the word says that our righteousness is but nothing but filthy rags. And that's according to the old man. But God says, I've given you a new spirit. Why? Because that's his child. And his child is birthed with righteousness. See, you are no longer eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You're eating of the tree of life, which is actually the tree of righteousness. So what he's going to do, he's going to test your righteousness. Your righteousness. He already knows his righteousness. He's testing your righteousness. Are you with me? Now, praise God. Go to Psalm 97. So do you think any of these fiery darts would interfere with your righteousness? Yes. Yes, they will. Why? Because they'll contaminate your spirit. See, when you stop searching with the spirit and start relying on your own talents, your own knowledge, your all your own stuff, the devil, oh man, he just jumps for joy, does backflips and everything. He says, I got him now. Praise God. Why? Because that just promoted pride. Spiritual pride. And we already talked about what spiritual pride will do. In Psalm 97 and verse 2. Praise God. Is everybody there? Okay. Would you read it with me? Clouds and darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. What's the foundation of his throne? Righteousness and justice. Wow. Go to Psalm 7. So you see how this coordinates with in his holy temple. See, that's why the Bible says, who can approach or enter into the tabernacle of God, but you as a pure heart, pure mind, and what? Clean hands. See, God begins to test your righteousness, yours. And how did you get that righteousness? The things that he's taught you. It's an area where there's integrity. It's a part of your character now. Your spirit, the new spirit that's in you, the new child of God that's been born again and birthed. That new child walks in the likeness of his creator, in the image. But the thing is he must continue to eat from the tree of life and not from the tree of knowledge and good of evil. That's why God says, do not be conformed to this world. Why? Because those who are conformed to this world are eating of the tree of good and evil. Hello. They do not know righteousness. That's why when somebody's righteous, they call you self-righteous. Well, you self-righteous thing. That's just a demon talking to you. Amen? And Psalm 7. Oh, hallelujah. In verse. Oh, somewhere. In verse 8. Would you read it? The Lord shall judge the peoples. Judge me, O Lord, according to what? My righteousness. And according to my what? Integrity where? Within me. Wow. So God is going to test your righteousness, which is a representation of your integrity. He's going to test your principles, your ethics, your responses, your characters. Are you with me? He's going to also test your thoughts, your attitude, and your motives. He wants to make sure that they are in line according to his righteousness. Why? Because he's imparting in you his righteousness. But what's he testing? Your righteousness. Should I say that again? He's going to test your principles, your integrity, your ethics, your responses, your character. He's going to test your thoughts. Now, what I mean by testing your thoughts, which ones you're going to come and agree with. He's going to test your attitude. He will test your motive. Does everybody see that? What you have learned or how you are yielding to the mind of Christ will produce your righteousness. He will test it. In Philippians 1, if you'll go there, please. He tests your words. He will test your what? Your words. He wants to know whether you're going to do what you say. Because if you're not a person that does what you say, he's testing your righteousness. Why? Because the righteousness of Christ does not lie. Amen? In Philippians chapter 1, and in verse 9, is everybody there? Good. In this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, and that you may approve the things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the what? Fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. Fruits of righteousness, which is the character of your heart. And the character of your spirit is tested by the responses you give. Are you with me? So there are fruits of righteousness, isn't there? Go to Ephesians 6, which we were just there. Only this time go to verse 14. Ephesians 6 and verse 14. Would you read it? Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of what? Righteousness. Why? Because, first of all, your heart is the character of your spirit. Amen? And your heart will produce fruits of righteousness. So the breastplate of righteousness is to protect the heart, isn't it? Are you with me? Why? Because the heart is the character of your spirit. So where your heart is, it will begin to either produce fruits of righteousness or fruits of unrighteousness. That's why the Bible says, out of the mouth speaks the what? The heart. Why? This is how you know whether your spirit has been contaminated or not. Whether it's producing fruits of righteousness or not. I'm talking about fruits of righteousness from your spirit, not talking about fruits of the spirit from the spirit. There's a difference. As you yield to the Holy Spirit, you'll produce fruits of the spirit, won't you? But your spirit's supposed to be producing fruits of righteousness. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Romans 1, please. glory. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jews first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Wow. It is revealed from faith to faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Wow. So righteousness is revealed from faith to faith, like we talked about, from glory to glory, but we go from faith to faith. Who you trust and what tree you're eating from will produce the fruit. Who you trust and what tree you are eating from will produce the fruit. Fruits of righteousness or fruits of unrighteousness. In James chapter 1. Man, it got quiet in here. Is everybody all right? We took a shift, didn't we? Hold on to your seats, that's all. Saddle up your horses. Glory! In fact, today's teaching is called Testing of Righteousness. But one of the things I want to at least explain to you is the things that are going to affect your righteousness. Amen? And that's who you're listening to. James chapter 1 and verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into all your various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all liberty and without reproach, and it will be what? Given to him. In other words, here's an area where we're to count it all joy, aren't we? See, your fruits are going to come out in your trial. I'm not talking about fruits of the Spirit. I'm talking about fruits of your righteousness. Okay? Anybody that's yielding to the Holy Spirit is going to produce fruits of the Spirit. But there's a time when God is going to cause you and test you of your righteousness and where your spirit is at. And those are going to produce fruits of righteousness. In other words, how are you going to respond to waiting? How are you going to respond to rejection? How are you going to respond to sin? How do you respond to ungodliness or rebellion? How do you respond to when offense comes? How do you respond? How do you respond to submission? Are you with me? What God is testing your righteousness. He is testing your integrity. Why? Because he is not going to put you in a place to shame his name. He will put you in a place when your spirit is strengthened and clean, so that he knows that you will not respond to circumstances and things that cause you to move, or how you're going to react to bring shame to the name of God. And too many people get into a place thinking that they've earned it because they have stopped the search, and because they heard it by a fiery dart that hit them right here. Hello? right in the blessed assurance, and moved them right out of position and went and did something believing, I heard from God. Because they stopped the search. They no longer seek ye the kingdom of God. They do their little foo-foo, read of something and go away. Yes, I heard from God. I played Bible roulette. Yes, that was the Lord. I'm out of here. Yes, I got a message from the Lord. I got a message from the Lord for you. Hallelujah. Revelation 19. Hey, now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying God can't speak to you that way. Amen. Because I know that He's told me. But He told me to go open the Bible and He would speak to me. Too many people just go to the Bible and flip it. Oh, good morning, God. How you doing today? Yeah, great day. Okay, here it is. Bingo. You know, they think you're playing bingo. Oh, they got some. They won something. Yes, I got this one. I'm going now. You know, I got it. Bible roulette. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. And Revelation 19. In verse 7. Is everybody there? Read it with me, please. Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and His wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the what? Righteous acts of the saint. He did not say the righteous acts of the Spirit. Do you understand this? This is the righteous acts of the saints who have the what? Fine linen. Oh, to God be the glory. The righteous acts of the saints. See, the demons know. They know. They can see. They know where you're at. See, they can see all the arrows all over you. Yeah, that one's from that spirit. And that, hey, you guys want to eat something? Let's go to lunch. There's such and such over there. Do you get it? They can see those fiery darts, and they know what spirit's in them, you know. Remember I shared with you about that they celebrate Valentine's Day, that demon, a Cupid demon? It's nothing but a little, fat little Cupid demon. It has lust affair on the fiery dart. I mean, people, you know, everybody's expecting something on that day. And that demon goes around. I mean, they sell more flowers. There's more fornication on that day than Fridays. Matthew 5. Hallelujah. You know, the devil gets, once they get hit with that dart, there's guys and girls that haven't seen each other and talked to each other in years. They broke up and all of a sudden, their name's on that dart. Yeah, maybe I better call, what's her name or his name, and see, because it's Valentine's Day. It's the day of fornication. It's a lust affair. Matthew 5. And the devil reminds you of all the old associates, what you used to do on those days, and then the harpoon hits you. Hallelujah. Verse 20, would you read it with me? For I say to you that you're what? Is everybody there? Matthew 5:20. Come on. Confession brings possession. Come on, say it. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom. Wow. So your righteousness, now let me share this with you. Your righteousness must exceed them. You're right. Why? Because you have the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit who mentors you. You have a personal mentor now that will teach you and bring you, cause you to search the deep things of God so that you will be able to discern. And once that shield of faith is up and you get that printout, you'll know what fiery dart it is. Amen? Don't read it after you get hit. It's too late. You just got to kill those seeds and stuff, don't you? Amen. So our righteousness must exceed the scribes and Pharisees. Now let me share with you. Association with righteousness is your faithfulness. How faithful are you? Your commitments, your vows, your values. How about your finances? Are you spending it on you or the things of God? Now, I'm not saying because you may be spending it on the things of God, but is it God's will for you to spend it on the things of God? The Bible says this, bring all of your first fruits to the storehouse of God. You know how many people who are associated with fellowships, hello? Send their money to TV evangelists first. Or they go out and buy stuff. And instead of tithing to the fellowship where they're supposed to, the storehouse, they go out and buy a bunch of Bibles and give them out. Or go out and buy a bunch of tracts and give them out. And call that, well, this is my tithe. That's not God's will. Are you with me? See, your tithe is first fruits to the house of God. And anything that you do for God afterwards, it's called an offering. And then people wonder why their finances are messed up. Because they're not submitting to what God is saying what to do. That's why we must follow and get in line with the governing laws of the kingdom. This is kingdom principles, right? See, God is going to check your righteousness to see if they're lining up with kingdom principles. Before he promotes you, before he establishes you in a certain area, before he does anything. But too many people are just going by how they feel and just go do it, say they heard from God, and you know what? It never goes anywhere. Oh, hallelujah. Righteousness is a testing of your character. Now listen. This is when thoughts will become words, right? Words will become what? Actions. And what else? Actions will become habits. Habits will become characters. Are you with me? It all starts with a fiery dart, doesn't it? And then next thing you know, you're off course. Because now your destiny is going in another direction and you're spending too much time and too much money in another arena when God has got you over here. He's over here and you're over there. And he's testing your righteousness. And it started because you stopped going with the search in the spirit. And the enemy saw that and he went, poof. And because he knows that you're not searching with the spirit, he knows that your shield of faith isn't plugged in. Hello. And even when it comes up, you can't see it because you're not paying attention. You're too busy doing your will. And the next thing we know, we go in this cycle. And we're back to poverty. And I'm talking about spiritual poverty. And then there's fruits of it afterwards. Oh, hallelujah. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Is everybody there? You know, I was in the gym yesterday, and there was this woman that was speaking to this guy there about marriage. And instantly I felt something go in my mouth to shut up. And this woman was telling this guy who just recently got divorced about this, all of this stuff. And I had a witness t-shirt on. And I was just quiet over there and be quiet, you know. It's working out a little bit. And the more I heard, the more I was like, man, I can't take much more of this, Lord. I can't take much more. This woman's counseling this guy who doesn't know nothing. I mean, and that's all I kept seeing was total unrighteousness, counseling, you know, deception, you know. So this guy finally looks at me and he says, oh, you're a Christian, so am I. And now I heard this woman saying all kinds of things to these other guys that were working out about their physical character. So I figured I would use my office and position then. And said, yes, I'm a pastor. And, oh, well, where have you been? So, such and such. And I said, you know what? I said, let me tell you something, brother. You're not fighting flesh and blood. You're fighting powers of darkness. Well, maybe God allowed causes to happen. I said, God didn't cause none of this to happen. You got destroyed, lost your wife and stuff because of lack of knowledge. So I just went off in this place. Everybody in there started turning around and listening and sitting down. So I got to minister everybody in the gym. In fact, that one woman took my phone number and said, you need to talk to my husband. I left that place. I was high as a kite. I said, Lord, I like going to that gym. Hallelujah. But, you know, it was irritating me because of those unrighteous words that were coming out. You know, they were just flying out. And I knew that this kid was getting hit with every fiery dart. It was like, you know, how you should have a marriage and this and that. And, you know, maybe things will work out this way. I'm like, man, cut it out, man. That's got nothing to do with what's true. Oh. Praise God. I haven't heard from him yet, so I'm wondering. I invited him to Friday night, too. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15 and 33. Everybody there? Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts what? Good habits. You want to corrupt your righteousness? Hang around with people that are unrighteous. Hello? And verse 34, it says what? Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak to this to your shame. Why? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Amen? Go to 1 John chapter 2. Oh, hallelujah. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 24. Everybody there? Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? Are you getting tested? Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Death is a wonderful place. Verse 24, therefore let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But what? The anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning what? All things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of God. Now let me share something with you. The anointing promotes righteousness, but it's our responsibility to practice it. Amen? The anointing in your life will promote righteousness. The Holy Spirit is always promoting righteousness. Why? Because he's righteous and he says, you be righteous. Now go to 2 Peter. See, so we don't have an excuse. Just boneheadedness. 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1 and verses 2 through 9. Somewhere around there. 10, I don't know. Is everybody there? Is everybody all right? Glory. Are you getting this? I'm telling you, it's important. It's important. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the what? Knowledge of God and of our Jesus, of Jesus our Lord. And his what? Divine power has given to us all things that pertain to what? Life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by the glory and virtue. And the divine power is the anointing, isn't it? By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, which will produce righteousness, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For as an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly to everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want to close at 1 Timothy 6. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. Starting at verse 1. Let as many bondservants as under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed. And those who are believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather serve them because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. Teach and exhort these things. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is what? He is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reveling, reviling evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourself. Now godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we carry nothing out. And having food and clothing with these, we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through the many sources. But you, O man of God and women of God, flee these things and pursue what? Righteousness. Say that again. Flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, which you were also called, and have confessed the good conscience in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is the blessed and only, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in an unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, remember this. It's important that you get this, because your spirit is what's being tested of producing the fruits of righteousness. Are you with me? The Holy Spirit will produce the fruits of the Spirit, won't he? But he'll produce them through you. Now, the anointing that's in your life is always trying to pursue you to get you to pursue the search. As you continue to pursue the search, righteousness is going to be abound, because you're in fellowship with the Spirit and you will produce fruits of righteousness. Are you with me? Let me tell you, your righteousness is being tested right now. There's too many things where people are saying that this is God and it's not. And it brings destruction. Amen? We must continue to search and never stop. You will know you by your fruits of righteousness. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We apply the blood of Jesus on these seats. And every area, Lord, where we have fallen short, neglected, and yielding. Lord, where our spirit's been contaminated, we repent and command every corruptible seed and fiery dart that's penetrated into our spirit, soul, or body to wither and die, that was producing unrighteousness, in the name of Jesus. And we ask that you cleanse our spirit, soul, and body with the blood of Jesus. Anoint us in a greater way, that our spirit will produce fruits of righteousness that will bring glory to your name from this day forward, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.